We are kind of in between series right now. We finished up a series in the prophets. Did you like that? The Old Testament and the New Testament prophets. And we're getting ready for a series starting in a couple weeks on friendship. Show me your friends, I'll show you your future. Kind of looking at how important friendship is in our lives. And how we can be better friends, how we can show better friendship to one another, and how the scriptures help us to learn and deepen our understanding of friendship. So for the next couple of weeks, we get to do sort of standalone messages. And so what I think the Lord put on my heart today is to talk about the area of life that we often have one of the most difficulty integrating faith. For most of us, most of the time, we are doing three things. We are either doing what we consider life at home, or we do life at rest, so you sleep, hopefully, some time every single day. Hopefully you also take some times of rest and reflection, relaxation, what the Bible calls Sabbath, that there is health in having these patterns of rest. For many, church and Sunday morning is part of that. It's a place that we go and a community that we participate in order to rest, to get rejuvenated, to get a sense of inspiration and focus and relaxation and things like that. We've got this third area that we often think of as work. Now, I realize these categories sometimes overlap because some of you work at home, or some of you, maybe you're, if somebody asked you, and actually, here's the first question I'd like us to wrestle with, and maybe even take out the kids' connection group insert, because I'd like you to do a little bit of writing, and I'll be doing the same thing. As we look at this scripture passage, we're going to be looking at just a couple of verses in the book of Colossians. So if you have your Bibles, you could take that out too. Just don't, you could use that to write on to help with this other little thing as well. But most importantly, that you would read it in Colossians chapter 3. So Paul is talking to the church at Colossae. This is part of a larger conversation about what it means to be alive in Christ. Jesus has died for us. Jesus has rose again. And as we place our personal faith in that, Jesus, I know that you died for me. You rose again for me. The book talks about how we become alive in Christ. The Spirit of God comes and lives inside of us and infuses every part of what we do. And we get to this passage in chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. This powerful, powerful principle. It's kind of, in one sense, simple, but it's also profound. So I wanted us to spend some real time with it this morning. Paul writes, whatever you, what's the word? Do, whatever you do, comma. So here's the question I want you to wrestle with. When somebody asks you, what do? How do you answer? So on the piece of paper, I'd like you to write down, what do you do? Like what, if somebody said, what do? You'd say, well, I, and then you write that down, okay? Okay? You might need to write down several things. What do you do? What do you do? Some might say, well, I'm retired, but I volunteer at yada, yada, yada. I'm retired, but I invest in my family by doing da-da-da-da. I help my kids out and my grandkids, and maybe somebody who has great-grandkids here. Yeah, now we're talking. All right. So that'd be part of what you do. Many of you are students. That's part of what you do. What do you do? Well, I go to middle school. What do I do? Or you would write down what your vocation is. Maybe you have several. But how would you answer the question, what do you do? So, don't just nod. I want to see your writing, okay? What do you do? Now, write that down. Okay, okay. And before we continue into this verse, on one side of this wonderful list of what you do, I'd like you to write down one or two things that you especially enjoy about what you do. So, what do you like about what you do? Like I wrote at the top of my page, pastor. Somebody asked, what do you do? Well, I'm a husband and a father, but if you ask me that question, what do? I'd say, I'm a pastor. So I'm going to write down some things that I like about being a pastor. Okay? You do the same. What do you do? What do you like about what you do? Now I'm going to give you a chance to write down things you don't like about what you do, so save space. Okay? And I won't, by the way, I won't make you share any of this. This is just between you and the Lord. So this is like kind of like a venting therapy session, if you like. If you want to think of it that way for just a moment, okay? We're not going to turn this in. We're not going to compare notes. But I want you to be thinking about what do you do and what do you like about what you do? What do you like about what you do? Okay. Now on the other side of the, you can make a little line if you like, or make a negative mark or whatever. I'd like you to write down some of the things you don't like about what you do. What do you not like? What's frustrating about what you do? Or discouraging about what you do? Of course, you know, since my job is to pastor all of you, I have nothing negative out in there, because everybody knows that once you come to church, you step through the doors, everybody is wonderful, and nothing is ever frustrating or difficult or hard to manage. I'm just going to have to move because I think lightning's going to strike. Okay, I'm going to just go over here because I just told a little bit of a fib. But I think you understand the sarcasm of that. All of us, in what we do, we have some things that are frustrating about what we do. So just take a moment and write down a few of the things that are frustrating about what you do. So whether that's in whatever is connected to that answer to the question, what do you do as a volunteer, as a parent, as a, you know, because our work, sometimes it's paid, sometimes it's not paid. All of it is intended to make some sort of a contribution to the world around us. What do you do? What do you do? Okay. So let's keep reading for a moment, would we? So whatever you do, and now we've got a little list of what you do, right? Some things that you do. Work at it with all your heart. As working for the Lord, not for human masters. Comma. Now this is the point where some of you might rightly say, wait a second. Perhaps the Bible is not aware of my boss. Because, see, it would be great. I could work so hard if my boss was wonderful. Watch the church staff. Their heads are nodding up and down. Like, amen. Because whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for human masters. Since you know that you will receive a what? An inheritance. From the Lord as a what? As a reward. So that tells us some important things about work that I always want us to spend some time with. And what you do, whatever you do, whatever I do, what is it that I do? There is reward. There is something about what you do that is inherently valuable. And God sees it. One of the things that we often do in the way that we live out Christianity today is we think, okay, Christianity is great, and Sunday morning I come and I recharge and I spend my time with Jesus and I, you know, he fills me up and I'm filled with joy and gratitude and love, and then I go out and do all that, whatever else it is, and it's just totally, it's like different worlds, like kind of compartmentalized. You know, I live my faith here and it's great and my spiritual life is good, but my work life is just, is different. Is a different thing. But this passage causes us to think differently about that. It seems to suggest that God is invested and involved in all of those things. That God sees what you do as a teacher, as a parent, as a volunteer, as somebody who's working sales. And says, on some level, what you are doing there, in what you do, is inherently, intrinsically valuable. God sees it. He knows what you do. And he cares about what you do. And he wants you to do it with all your heart. That your faith Your work life, your home life, everything is integrated. It's all part of one thing. See, it's a simple idea, but wow. What if we actually did that? So, I'm going to ask one more question. Well, let's finish off this verse, and then I want to talk about a couple other things. So, it says, so when you work, when you do what you do with all your heart, God sees it, he rewards it, because it is the Lord Jesus you are. What's that last word? Serving. It's the Lord Jesus you are serving. I want you to spend some time with one more question. And then we're going to get a chance to hear from some other people in the congregation how that gets lived out in their lives. At the core of everything that is worth doing, any job, there is something that has an inherent, intrinsic social value. There is some reason why what you do matters. I want you to spend some time with that, because we often miss this. I know I do, and I shouldn't, but I do. Most of us, many of us, we get lost in the details of the day. Think, well, what do I do? Well, I remember back in the days when our daughters were really young, they're in diapers. I'm like, what do? I'm a poop smith. Like, I'm catering and cleanup. That's all I do. Feels like all I do. What's inherently valuable about that? We see, we forget in the details, don't we? We forget. Because when you're raising a child, it's not just about catering and cleanup, or in the phase of life where we are right now, I feel like a taxi driver. Just moving from event to event. Any amens out there? I mean, catering and taxi service. And it doesn't feel valuable in the moment. It feels like we get lost in the details, but forget, in those moments of parenting, it's not just about giving a ride, it's about raising a child. Creating an environment where your kids or your grandkids or your great-grandkids, if you've been so blessed, can thrive, can grow, can discover who they are in Christ, figure out how God has wired them up, and then release them for service, meaningful service and work in the world. Is there anything more important than that? Some of you might be thinking, I'm just in retail. Like, I'm just selling widgets, you know? People come in, they say, how much is that? It's $19.95, and then I ring them up, and off they go. Well, that's the details of what you do, but it's not at the core of what you do. What is your job's socially redemptive core? Why does what you do matter? Let's look at the retail thing for just a second. If you're working retail, what you are doing is you are connecting people to products and services that can make their life better. People show up in the grocery store because they need food or need some household item, and you are connecting them with a product that can make their life better. You're selling insurance. You're connecting people with a product that can make their life better. And so what you do and the way that you do it, it matters. God sees it. God cares. It is inherently valuable. So take just a moment, would you? Just a moment. What is at the core of what you do? It helps us to cut through a lot of the clutter in life. Take just a moment. And I wanted you to hear from a couple members of our congregation. So I made some calls in the last few weeks of just some people that may be even representative of the kinds of jobs that you might have. And so first is with a woman by the name of Susan Kane. And I'll actually have a video interview. And then while the video is happening and being shown and played, Ed Finney, I'm wondering if you would come up, because, you know I've already asked you in advance, right? But to come up and share a little bit about how your faith and your work life integrates. Let's watch that video. So even as you're hearing other people's stories, I just invite you to be thinking about how would you answer these same questions in your own work environment. And so I have with me Ed Finney. Now, Ed, what is your current job title and what does your job include? What do you do?
Current job title is I'm president of Pacific Aerospace and Electronics out in Old Station. And what do I do? It's probably a question that a number of people ask. There's a few of my coworkers here that might wonder the same thing. But, you know, I'm basically responsible for all aspects of the business, and that means making our stakeholders money. The way I look at it, though, is I'm head cheerleader, right? And the coach. So I've got a lot of talent out there, and I'm not the best at what I do, or at everything they do. Just like a coach might be in a baseball game, he may not be the best shortstop or the best pitcher, but he knows who is, and he knows who to put where and how to move those players around to get what he wants. So that's basically my job.
Yeah. Yeah,
herding cats is another good
yeah, that's right. Maximizing talent and herding cats. Okay.
Correct.
So what are some ways that your faith informs or influences how you do your job? It sounds like at times a very stressful job.
It certainly can be. You know, traditionally, I grew up in an environment of where it was more of a culture of fear, you know, the sweatshop type atmosphere. Right, where all the employees were expected to come in and leave their brain at the door and just come have a seat and do your job and shut up, and you'll get your paycheck later.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And, you know, it's been a long time since then. But so we try to strive for a more of a culture of cooperation, and it really does line up a lot with the moral values that I grew up with, you know, going to church and learning and reading the Bible and being able to take that and flow that to my people in what could be somewhat less than direct methods.
Good, because you're often leading through systems and structures and things like that. You don't necessarily have face-to-face contact with... You have about 300 employees total, right?
About two.
Oh, 200? Okay.
And, you know, I do try to have face-to-face contact with most of them every day. I try to learn everyone's name. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of decisions that are made may not be understood by all of the employees. And sometimes I can share and sometimes I can't, but really my job is to do what's best for the stakeholders, but it's really close. The next level is how I want my employees treated.
Right. You want to make profit for the stakeholders, and that's the pressure from on top, but you've also got the pressure inside saying, I want to take care of these people. I want their lives to thrive.
Right.
Yeah.
So that really is right up there. Those two are smacking each other a lot of times, and sometimes I have to make the bad decision as far as the employees are concerned, but sometimes I lean the other way, and I think, you know, it's good enough for them, all the bosses, and this is how it should be.
Well, actually, that kind of ties into the third question I wanted to ask, because, in a position like yours, and I imagine many people can understand or empathize, where there is pressure from above to say, these are things we need you to do, we're asking you to do, maximize profit, and you're also feeling the pressure to take care of all these people. What are some ways that you find your faith challenged in your work environment?
Well, current EEOC laws always challenge us. That's the equal opportunity type thing. So it does make it difficult to be overly evangelical.
Right.
In a workplace,
so you've got to be very careful about how you say things.
That's true. You know, if employees start a conversation, then I'm more than happy to dive right in, because I feel that they've brought it up. I can't get in too much trouble there. You know, I play a little K-Love in my office, so if people come in, it's subtle little things. Mm-hmm. But really what it is, you know, how do I act? What kind of a person am I, you know, to lead by example, to model and reinforce, if you will. Tom's heard those terms. Or Tom's
there
back
go.
There hiding.
Yeah.
Right? To model and reinforce everything we do. So, really, I don't know if I can say people look up to me, but as the boss, they're kind of looking at me. You know, I'm in the limelight. So, you know, if I do something poorly or bad... Right. They're going to see it. So, you know, I kind of really have to try and strive to do my best and do the right thing. And I think that the church has really set me up to do that.
Yeah, so you kind of wake up every day going, my character matters because there's a lot of people watching my character right now.
It's very true, and I can't say that I do it 100% of the time, Andrew.
Who can? Who can?
I have my moments, and those are the times where the struggle begins.
Yeah. Now, what's something that you wish people knew or understood about what it means to be a Christian in your work environment?
I'm not reading this. I'm just looking at my notes because I'm getting older, and for some reason, my memory is not as good as it used to be.
Yeah.
Christianity is part of what you are. And I don't really think you can separate it from your home world to your church world to your work world. And that, like I said, you can't be openly evangelical, but you can work on that. And to me, you don't have to leave your Christianity at church.
Yeah, yeah.
And I kind of wish people knew that the position that I'm in is a little bit lonely sometimes. But I always have, you know, God to call upon, and that's really what's helped me out a lot in those tough decisions, those times when there isn't anyone for me to talk to, so that, you know, I need a little nudge, and I'm always relying on God to kind of steer me in the right way, and He hasn't failed me yet. He really has taken me and my family a long ways.
Just to play off the word lonely for a second, because I think a lot of people in leadership and pressure positions do feel a loneliness. Who here, just by a show of hands, you say, I can relate to some elements of what Ed has shared about, the pressures that he experiences at work. Maybe now it doesn't feel quite so lonely. There's a lot of things you can't talk about, and things that particular stresses that are, I'm sure, very isolating in when you're the boss. But there are other people that understand that too. So let's give Ed a round of applause. Thank you very much for sharing. I appreciate that. I want to close with just a couple of thoughts. First, what would it mean for you in your work environment to be more fully integrating your faith? If you were to say, Lord, help me to work well. Or help me to do what I do well. What does that mean? And just invite you as we close in a time of prayer to just lift that up to the Lord. Whatever you do, or just to come back to that verse for a moment, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. So Lord, help me to work well. If God was to answer that prayer in some small way today, what might that look like for you? And then there's one final thought. What do you think would happen in the world if all of us were seeking to integrate our Christian values in the way that we engaged in the work world? How do you think the world would be different if the employers, for example, of East Wenatchee and Wenatchee said, you know, I got to hire me a Christian, because I know that they're going to work hard. I know they're going to do everything that they can to further the true purposes of the business that we're in. Because the business is often not just about selling widgets. It's about something bigger than that. It's not just about making certain that you conduct the class within the structures and regulations of that particular educational environment. It's about so much more, isn't it? What would it look like if all of us together, Christians everywhere, lived this out more fully? How do you think the world would be different? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the gift of work. And Lord, as we consider what we do, whether that is our work primarily in the home, or our work primarily in volunteering, or work that's financially compensated, Lord, help us to work at it with all our heart. Thank you that there is no insignificant job that you see, that you know. And Lord, may we serve you ultimately, with all our heart, in the environments where you place us. And I invite you just to take a moment just to lift up that prayer of what it might look like for for you to more fully integrate your faith in your work environment. Just take a moment before the Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.